The bass!
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
This guy stinks.
Well, I'm not going to waste any time. I'm going to get right to the point, which is, since the last show, I got so much feedback from you guys, I'm going to have to spend most of this episode responding to it. I'm still going to play you some cuts off some new albums like I always do. And you'll get the usual surprises, but let's start out with an email. And this one comes from James Nelson, who says, "Hey, Monty, how are things going, man?"
And that really is a good question, isn't it?
Well, thanks for asking, James. And, you know, I don't really like to talk about my personal life.
Yeah?
But since you asked, things are going all right. I've got a great wife, and I've kind of settled into home life now, and I'd say I'm pretty happy. Of course, I'm never totally content because I'm an artist, and we're never satisfied. We're always trying to write that next great song or do that next great painting, and it just continues throughout our life. But over the years, I've tried to just become a little bit more content and take each day as it comes. And I'll tell you, that has not been easy for me. There's a couple things in my life I haven't talked about publicly very much, but I figure most of you are going to find out when you read my book what I've been doing the last 15 years, so what the heck, let me just go ahead and fill you in.
Now he has a story to tell, and what a story.
You see, back in 2000, Galactic Cowboys broke up, and I decided to do a solo project called Crunchy. And I signed with this label called SAR out of New Jersey, and about a month after I signed with them, they went bankrupt. And they owed me about $11,000 at the time, and they didn't pay me, I didn't have a job, I didn't have a career anymore, and I was screwed. I was massively in debt, I had a family to support, and it was just all bad. And so I had no other choice but to go out and get a real job. Ah! Yeah, trust me, it was horrifying. And so I ended up working in a factory for a while. I've done faux painting, I've done murals, and I've done some cool stuff. But the job I've done more than anything, and I still do it to this day, is paint houses. And oh my God, does that suck ass.
The absolute worst.
And you may ask me, well, Monty, if it sucks so much, why do you keep doing it? Well, here's why. Number one, yes, I have a college degree, but I got it in art. Oh. And it is not a teaching degree, it's just a degree. And that diploma that I have stuck in a box somewhere in my closet is worth absolutely nothing.
You're kind of screwed, aren't you?
Most of the intelligent students that I was going to college with got their teaching degree in art, not me. I was like, no, screw that, I'm going to be an artist. And believe me, in this day and age of computers, nobody's out there looking for a guy who can draw really good. So the job opportunities that I have to pick from are kind of limited. Another reason why I stick with house painting is that I'm pretty skilled at it, and most people aren't going to fire me. There's tons of painters out there, but most of them aren't very good. And I also have a really cool boss that lets me off anytime I want. If I say, hey, I need a month off to go work at School of Rock and paint some murals, he's like, cool, dude, go for it. If I tell him I gotta run to Houston and play a Galactic Cowboys show, he says, have a good time. And really, that's the best benefit of the whole job, time off. The biggest drawback is that it's hard on my body and it's very physical kind of work. And honestly, I don't know how much longer I can do it. But the final reason why I keep doing it is that nobody cares what I look like. I'm not expected to wear a suit or khakis or dress slacks. I can wear shorts if I wanna. I can have long hair if I wanna. I can have a beard if I wanna. And since I don't want anybody telling me how to look or dress, I continue to paint houses.
Bad decision.
But all that to say, a man has to do what he has to do to make a living. And between that and selling a few paintings and some t-shirts once in a while and CDs, well, I make just enough to...
Go on.
Well, good thing my wife has a good job.
You're right, it is.
All right, I know this is a music show and that had nothing to do with music. But the other day, I got an email from Dr. Nathaniel Hansen, and he said, "Hey, Monty, I'm going to be in Kansas City. Would you like to get together for dinner?" And I said, "Sure." So we met up for some tacos, and while we were sitting there eating, he said, "You know, Monty, I know some people don't like it when you talk about politics and stuff like that on the show, but I like that. So just for you, Dr. Nate, I'm going to briefly comment on the first Democratic debate that was on recently. And all I really want to say is that if you just want to ignore all the illegal activity and corruption that Hillary Clinton's been involved with all these years, well, that's up to you. And maybe you truly believe in all of her policies and you're really into socialism. That's your business. But just do me this one favor and do not vote for her just based on the fact that she's a woman. Because even though you think it'd be really cool to say, I helped elect the first woman president, the fact is that what a person has between their legs does not exactly qualify them to run a country. I mean, it'd be like voting for someone just because they were, say, black.
Say what?
Yeah, that'd be ridiculous to make somebody president just because of the color of their skin.
You may want to move on to another topic.
In other emails and random comments, Josh Bosley said, "Monty, always makes my day to have a new rock cast." Well, thanks, Josh. It always makes my day to hear from you. I also heard from Fabrice in France who said, "A rock cast in the morning will enhance my breakfast." Ah, that it will, Fab. I like mine with waffles.
Delicious!
My evil twin in Ohio, Michael McCullum, said, "You are right on that Backyard Baby CD. Tremendous. This kind of stuff should reach the masses, but never will." And James in Houston wrote to tell me that the first Boston album is basically better than everything, and that I should check out the new CD by Stryper.
Good God.
Well, all right, James. I've never been a big Stryper fan, but let's give it a listen.
God has ordained that you should hear this now.
I remember Stryper back in the 80s when they were wearing the yellow and black bee costumes and throwing out Bibles. And I always knew they were Christians, but they still had songs where you didn't really know if they were talking about God or their girlfriend. But apparently with this new album, they are trying to clear up any misconceptions you had about their beliefs. Because the lyrics are just blatant and overtly Christian. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
In fact, I know a lot of you guys will like that. And I know a lot of you guys like Stryper. I just don't happen to. But don't get me wrong, I don't dislike Stryper because they're Christians. I'm sure they're nice guys. I just don't like their music because it reminds me of hair metal that I hated in the 80s. You know, my wife isn't old enough to remember hair metal, and she had never even heard of Stryper until she met me. And the other day she asked me, well, who listens to this? And I thought about it, and I said, well, I guess Christian guys in their 40s and 50s who used to like listening to hair metal, which is probably also about 98% of my listening audience, which is probably why I shouldn't say anything bad about this Stryper album.
That's right, jerk.
So I'm not a big fan of this CD, but I was never a big fan of the genre in general. I've got a couple of hair metal guilty pleasures, like maybe Rat or somebody like that, but a lot of it I just kind of found silly. But if you like Stryper, I say cool. You'll most likely enjoy this album because it doesn't sound like they've changed much since the 80s. Continuing on with some of your emails, I've got one here from Sean McClure. And Sean wanted to know how my book is coming along, and he says he really enjoys the stories that I tell on the podcast. Well, Sean, I'm still writing it. I don't get a lot of time to work on it. It seems to take a back burner at times. But hopefully I can get it done in the next year or so. The thing is I wouldn't consider myself a literary author or anything, but I do have a lot to say, and I think the story is really interesting. I've had a lot of crazy experiences in my life, and I think it'll make for a good read. But I'm glad you like the stories that I tell here on the podcast, because there's going to be a lot of that in the book. A lot of stuff from my childhood, and a lot of cool stories from the road. In fact, I'll tell you one now that was actually told to me when I had dinner with Dr. Nate the other night.
The following story is remarkable.
We were sitting there eating, and Dr. Nate said, you know, I only saw Galactic Cowboys one time, and I think it was on the At the End of the Day tour. And he said, you were opening for King's X, and I'd never seen you before, and so I didn't really know what to expect. And when you guys started your set, you guys just came out one by one and started playing. And I said, oh yeah, I remember that tour. We opened with Where Do I Sign? And it starts out with the drums, and then I would come out and start playing that riff on bass. And Dr. Nate said, yeah, that was it. And he said, I was standing there right at the front of the stage, and I'm watching. But I kept looking around thinking, where's the singer? Well, you guys just kept rocking that riff when all of a sudden this guy just barges up and stands next to me on the front row. And he leans over and says to me, God, these guys suck. And I look over at him and I think, geez, what's up with this guy? And then the next thing I know, this dude jumps up on stage and starts singing. Yes, it was indeed just one of the many stage antics of Ben Huggins. And it left a lasting impression on Dr. Nate. And I told him, you know, a lot of crazy stuff happened on that tour.
Well, like what?
Like one night in New York City, I said, all right, let's do this. And I headed for the stage. And we start jamming, and I'm looking around going, okay, where's Ben? And we keep playing, and I'm thinking, oh, this is starting to get uncomfortable. And he finally got on stage about 3 or 4 minutes later, and he told me afterwards, I didn't hear you say we were going down to start the show. I was still in the dressing room in the can. But anyway, Sean, thanks for listening, and I'll keep working on that book where you will be able to read many more stories from the road.
I don't need more.
The next email I got is from my buddy Stu in Springfield, Missouri, and Stu is always brutally honest with me. He says he doesn't really care for a lot of that screamo stuff that I play on my show, but at the same time he agrees there's a lot of that stuff on classic rock radio that he could live without. Stu says that he never needs to hear Stairway to Heaven ever again. But he's surprised that I'm not fond of bands like CCR, and he wonders how I feel about bands like The Byrds and artists like George Jones and Hank Williams.
These are not hard questions.
Yeah, Stu, my deal with Creedence Clearwater was I never liked John Fogerty's voice. But I still have to hear it every time I go to a Royals game. Put me in, coach. Yeah, no.
I hate it!
As far as the Byrds, I never had a big problem with them, but I've never been a big fan of country.
Say what?
For example, I was at this place the other day and I heard this song over the intercom. And it was a country tune and this guy was singing something like, I had a chicken fry and a baked potato. And I thought, I wonder how the songwriting process goes down on something like that. You guess they're sitting around in Nashville and one guy says to the next, what's this song going to be about? And he says, I don't know, what'd you have for dinner last night? Well, I had chicken and a potato. Well, there you go. That's a song.
Yep. Okay.
The thing is, I really appreciate a lot of those guys for their talent. A lot of them are great guitar players. And it's not that I hate it. It's just, given the choice, I'd rather listen to something else.
That's crazy.
But continuing the conversation about songs I don't want to hear again was Jeffrey Elliott. And Jeffrey sent me a whole list of songs he's sick of, including Jack and Diane, Stranglehold, Sweet Alabama, Born in the USA, Keep Your Hands to Yourself, and Off of His Radio, he says. And Jeffrey also hates Lovin', Touchin', Squeezin' by Journey, I Can't Drive 55, any Van Halen song sung by Sammy Hagar. Every Song Sung by Axl Rose, and Teen Spirit by Nirvana, who Jeffrey says is the biggest poser band ever. Well, I know what you mean, Jeffrey. Nirvana definitely ruined my life back in the 90s, and every time I hear Teen Spirit, it's kind of a thorn in my side. And I know it definitely gets overplayed on the radio, but I think you and I both have to admit it's a really good song.
Load up on guns, bring your friends. It's fun to lose and to pretend. She's overboard, self-assured, and no, I know what dirty word. Hello, 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 how low. Hello, 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 how low. Hello, 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 how low. Hello, hello, with the lights out, it's less dangerous. Here we are now, entertain us. I feel stupid and contagious. Here we are now, entertain us. I'm a mulatto, an albino, a Filipino, my tuxedo, yeah.
Now, besides your emails and comments, like usual, I've been getting a lot of top tens from you guys. And here's a good one from Paul in Sarasota, Florida. And Paul says that he was inspired by the Get Off My Lawn segment that I do. And he has sent me his top 10 things that annoy the crap out of him in society today.
Yeah!
Well, all right, and since Paul is going to go all old man on us today, I will read these with my old man voice. So, at number 10, I don't like left lane highway hogs.
Ugh.
Paul says it drives him crazy when people stay in the left-hand lane at the exact speed limit when there is no one for miles in the middle or right lanes.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Paul, and I happen to know somebody who does that. And I'm not going to mention any names, but I might happen to be married to her.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, at number 9, it's all airlines are now charging for a checked bag. Yeah, why is that? I used to check guitars and all kinds of stuff like that, and now it's like $25 per bag. Rip off.
That pisses me off.
The number 8 thing that annoys Paul is boarding an airplane at the gate. Paul says, back when I was a kid, flying was a fun experience and a privilege, and we liked it. But now that the TSA treats me like cattle or a common criminal, I have to deal with people blocking the path to board the plane.
A pitiful thing indeed.
At number 7, Paul says, I don't like to see scrolls on my TV.
Now, what does that mean?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You're sitting there watching the game and all this stuff's running across the bottom. And what I really hate is when I'm watching the replay of a game and they run the final score of that game I'm watching across the bottom. Yeah, thanks a lot, ESPN.
They're scum buckets.
Oh, and here's another thing I hate. If I'm watching something like Survivor and there's a storm within 100 miles of me, they'll start running the weather warnings across the top. And then they put a big weather map over to the side. And before long, almost the entire screen is covered with messages and maps, and you can't even see what you're watching.
A completely miserable human being.
Number 6 on Paul's list is, he hates people who think they have to be first to post breaking news on Facebook. I don't get why people are in such a dadgum rush to post a celebrity death.
How true it is.
Yeah, well said, Paul. Number five is I don't like media hype. These people are professionals, and just like the common ding-dongs on Facebook, they report on stories before they are confirmed. And let me make myself clear, I don't care about Caitlyn Jenner enough.
You have any idea how angry I am right now?
At number four, Paul is annoyed with software updates. Oh my God, I know. I would love to just turn on my computer one time without an Apple update popping up. Seriously, stop screwing with iTunes. It's fine.
It really makes the head spin.
At number three, Paul is annoyed with all that newfangled auto-tuning that is going on in the music.
You are a genius.
At number two, Paul says that we are living in a disposable generation. Everything we buy has annoying packaging that you need a chainsaw to open. Now people just want to throw everything away. Back in my day, we had a TV and you kept it for 10 years. Now it's like, I need a plasma. No, wait, I need LCD. No, wait, I need HD. Now I need a smart TV. Can't you just be happy with a black and white 12-inch screen with rabbit ears?
Get real!
And at number one on things that annoy Paul these days, I don't like DJs that think they are musicians. And I don't mean radio DJs. If I meet one more DJ that thinks he's a songwriter because he can press some buttons on his laptop, I'm gonna kill him. Well, all right, Paul in Sarasota. That was outstanding, and I know what you mean, man. A lot of stuff annoys me as well. For instance, every year about this time, I get a cold, and I can't breathe, and I cough, and it just won't go away. If I just had to deal with it for a couple of days, it'd be all right, but no. With me, it's going to hang on for weeks where I eventually have to wean myself off of nose spray. But I know you don't want to hear me complain about my health because you'd rather hear me complain about traffic. And the thing I hate the most is sitting behind that person in the left turn lane waiting for that green arrow. Except when it turns green, they just sit there. And a lot of times they'll wait till the last second and it's yellow and then they'll go. And they leave me to sit through another red light.
Come on!
And I'm guessing it's because they're not paying attention or they're on their phone. But it always just infuriates me and I'll start screaming at them even though they can't hear me. And the other day this happened and I noticed it was this lady in front of me. And she's got her dog in the car with her, and I'm just getting madder by the second, and I just want to ram my Hellmobile into the rear end of her. But when she finally gets her ass in gear and pulls away, I happen to notice that there's this big, huge dent in her trunk. And I thought, see, she did the same thing to somebody else, and they beat me to it.
Awesome.
Something else that bugs me is everyone's obsession these days with racism and profiling.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw this story on the news the other day where this NBA player in Milwaukee parked in front of a jewelry store, and when he tried to go in, the owner locked the door. Apparently, they'd been robbed recently, and when they saw this big black guy get out and walk up to the door, they freaked out. And instead of just moving on to the next jewelry store, this NBA player decides that he's going to sue the store for racial profiling. And I thought, well, you know, it was kind of wrong of the store to just assume that this guy was going to rob him just because he was black.
That's right.
And it was also a shame that they didn't realize that he was an NBA player. Because had they known that, they would have realized he's probably rich.
Yeah!
And more than likely, a huge, gigantic, egotistical a-hole.
Oh, yeah!
So please, just everyone relax. Because profiling isn't just a black thing, it happens to all of us. For example, when Lindsay and I were looking for engagement rings, and we're at this mall, and I see this jewelry store, and I say, hey, let's go over and check it out. And I'm not making this up. We go walking in there, and there's this guy standing there in a suit, and he sees me with my long hair, shorts, and Megadeth t-shirt. And he says, what do you need? And I said, we're looking for wedding rings. And he says, oh, okay, the cheap ones are over here. Follow me.
How insulting.
Yeah, well, it kind of pissed me off, so we walked right out of there. But no, I wasn't offended enough to go file a lawsuit. It's just a fact of life. People are going to judge you based on the way you look and dress. It's the same reason why every time I go to a concert, somebody will ask me if I've got some pot, even though I've never smoked pot in my life. Apparently, I just look the part, and according to a lot of you, I guess I sound the part, too.
Right.
Of course, we're stuck with this monumental fear of racism for the rest of our lives, because it's all over the media, and now it's in our schools. And if any of you out there have teenage kids, you know what I mean. The public school systems these days are basically brainwashing these kids to be politically correct little robots. And it's okay for them to watch MTV and Netflix on their laptops in the classroom. That's fine. Eventually, I'm sure they'll have an area where they can all have sex during recess. But God forbid you use the wrong terminology or try to bully somebody.
Oh my God!
Yeah, how times have changed. When I was in junior high, if you didn't like getting bullied or ridiculed, well, it was just too damn bad. The teachers just told you to grow a pair. Now I'd be considered a freaking hero, and the people who bullied me would have been sent to counseling. But no, I don't condone racism or bullying. But God, the kids are just turning into such sheep. And after being at school all day where they've been told what to think and how to feel, it's like they're an alien from another planet. And even though they have no idea what life on this earth is like, they look at me like, you don't know anything.
You're stupid.
But hopefully someday they'll grow up and get a clue. And they'll figure out that life has bigger problems than things like how to get through a night without Nintendo. Or answering complex questions like, why does the National League not want the designated hitter rule? I mean, if you want your pitcher to bat, well, that's up to you, I guess.
Yeah.
But the American League teams ought to be able to use a designated hitter through the entire World Series.
You're damn right.
And one more question that people ought to be asking themselves. What's up with all the pumpkins?
What?
Yeah, come October and November, have you noticed everyone is just obsessed with pumpkins?
No.
At $5 per pumpkin, my wife has to buy 4 or 5 of them every year and have the kids carve them up. And then a couple of days later, they're rotting on the porch with flies flying around them.
That's fabulous!
Now that is just a great tradition. And that'd be bad enough, but then you got people making all kinds of foods and beverages out of them. And let's face it, pumpkins are not strawberries. I don't need pumpkin-flavored shakes, and I sure don't need pumpkin donuts. Donuts were meant to be glazed, cream-filled, chocolate, and bad for you, like the good Lord intended. So enough with the pumpkins. I'm just saying.
Get off my lawn! Complain about one thing or another or another or another or another or another.
Time now to talk some rock. And I'm going to start out with a concert review of a show that Lindsay and I went to a couple weeks ago. And it'd been a while since we'd been out to see anything, but when I heard Crown the Empire was going to be opening for Hollywood Undead, I said, let's get tickets.
Why?
The show was in Lawrence, Kansas, which is where Kansas University is, and it's about 45 minutes to an hour away from Kansas City. And we get over there and find the Granada Theater, and when we walk up, there's this guy out in front checking ID. And I said, oh, I forgot mine in the car. Is that all right? And he looks at me, and I guess he spots the gray in my beard and says, yeah, you're fine. Go on in.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing when they stop needing to check your ID. But I felt better when I got inside when the first guy I run into is like 21 years old and he's drunk. And I don't know him from Adam, but he just turns and looks at me and goes, hey, dude, are you out of control? And he shakes my hand and I go, no. But surprisingly, that would be the worst of the night. We made our way down to a spot that we could both see really well. We were kind of up above the pit where we didn't have to deal with moshing. And the place was so packed that there wasn't enough room for those assholes to do their karate moves. So there was none of that going on, which I loved. But there was this one guy, and of course he was standing directly in front of me. And he was doing the whole vaping thing. Like about every 5 minutes, he'd blow this big cloud of vapor up into the air that would just cover the whole club. And I thought, you know, I'm kind of glad they don't let people smoke in these places anymore. But even if it is just, quote, vapor, it's still obnoxious as hell. And if you're one of these people that thinks it's okay just because it's not a cigarette, you're still a tool.
That's right.
But whatever, we were there to see a concert, and Crown the Empire came out, and they were great as always. They put out my favorite album from last year, and they've got great songs, great vocals. They're just a great band. I keep waiting in the dark for someone to come and save me. And I've been holding on to something I could never change. We all search for higher ground when the world comes crashing down. But I know nobody will come into the dark and save me.
The headliner for the night was Hollywood Undead, and I know a lot of you guys don't like them because you've told me so, but I do like them, and I was looking forward to this because I've never really been to a rap slash rock show. I pretty much hate most rap music, but I think we all liked a little Beastie Boys back in the day, and that's kind of what Hollywood Undead is. They're a white rap band. And they wear masks, and they're really funny, and it was just a lot of fun.
I remember looking back, conversing a starter cap. Now I'm sitting wishing that, wishing I could just go back. I was happy with no fame, four Fiestas switching lanes. Buying 40s with some change, I'm Southern California days.
I watch it pass me by, my words they can't describe. But I can see the gravity way up from the sky. We leave the past behind, cause we all wanna fly.
Unlike a lot of rap bands, Hollywood Undead has really good songs. They focus a lot on the melodies, and they all play instruments too. All the guys would switch off between guitar and bass, and I was pretty impressed with that. I thought it was cool that they were all talented musicians, and they didn't just stand there and talk.
So Hollywood Undead, great show. Lindsay and I had a blast. And if they ever come back to town, I will go in a second.
He turns out to be a way bigger idiot and goof than we thought he was.
Now, while I'm on the subject of concerts, I got an email from Jimmy G in Chicago. And he went and saw the classic rock band Kansas. And he said he wasn't a big fan before he went and wasn't real familiar with their catalog. But he was really impressed with them, said it was a great show, their vocals were great. Said the crowd was singing every word to every song, and he would give them an A+. And that's awesome, Jimmy. I'm glad you had a good time. I saw them back in the 70s on the Point of No Return tour.
This was decades ago.
Yeah, I'm getting up there. What can I say? But it was literally one of the best shows I've ever seen. And I saw them again when they put out that live album, and I saw them a couple more times in the 80s. But after Kerry Livgren quit, I started kind of losing interest a little bit, but still one of my favorite bands of all time. And last week when Jimmy wrote and said, hey, I'm going to see Kansas, he asked me if this was still the original lineup. And I said, no, man, and as far as I know, there's only like two original guys left in Kansas. And I'm pretty sure the only remaining guys are Phil Ehart, the drummer, and Rich Williams, the guitar player. And so it's kind of tough for me to see that as Kansas. But at the same time, I don't doubt that the new guys that they have are great musicians. However, all that said, the original lineup band that I saw back in the 70s, it's really never gotten a whole lot better than that. They may be the greatest rock band I've ever seen, and you can get other guys to play that music, but for me, you'll never have that magic again. But that's just me and my opinion, so let's move on now to some CD reviews. And let's get it going with a new one from Killing Joke called Pylon. Killing Joke's been around a long time, and I was a fan of theirs in the 80s. Back then, I was in a band called The Awful Truth, and our style reminded me a little bit of Killing Joke. Of course, we broke up after only being together about a year, but Killing Joke is still together, putting out albums in 2015, and I was kind of surprised how good this one is. God, there's so much new stuff out there right now, I don't even have time to listen to it all. But I thought I would play something for you metalheads. This is another band that's been around forever. The name of their new CD is called Battering Ram, and it's from Saxon. Yeah.
Saxon is one of those bands that's going to wave its metal flag forever. And I'll be honest, there's a couple of moments on this CD that are pretty spinal tappy. But if you just check your brain a little bit at the iPod, you might find yourself digging it, because the guitar tone is killer.
All was still, no sound was heard, the snow was crisp and white. Something walked across the land until the morning light. But we rode up through the fields, what made this proven path? No one knew what beast it was that left this ghostly track. Lock your doors and shut the sights, there's demons riding out tonight. Sent from hell to test your faith, beat a cat to keep you safe from the devil's footprints.
Okay, I'm going to wrap up this segment of rock talk and this show by talking a little Rammstein.
Okay.
I love Rammstein, and if you haven't heard, they've got a new DVD out called America. Now, I don't have it yet, but I've seen some clips of it, and it's amazing. And they are definitely on my bucket list of bands that I have to see. And from what I understand, they're going to be playing some festivals in Europe next summer, and oh God, would I love to go. So to get myself and everyone else psyched up for that, I'm going to play one last song from Rammstein.
Brutal!
Now, as a bonus on today's show, if you want to stick around after the last song plays, I'm going to talk a little sports.
Just play the song already!
I know some of you guys don't care anything about sports, and well, for you, after Rammstein crushes your skull, you can just be on your merry way. But for the guys that love sports like I do, you can feel free to hang out and listen to my angry sports takes.
I mean, you're kind of a girly man.
But that's going to do it for now. Don't forget to go by my website, montycalvin.net, and pick up you a Rockcast t-shirt. And drop me an email if you've got any questions or comments or top tens. And let me know what you thought of the show. Let me know what some of your least favorite songs are that you never want to hear again. And I will be back very soon to talk again. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the After Show Sports Party. Yeah! All right, what should I talk about? I know. My hometown Kansas City Royals won the freaking World Series.
Wow.
Yeah, it was incredible. It's the first time in 30 years they did that. And yes, I was around back in the 80s the last time they won. But I gotta say, this was even more special. And I watched virtually every inning of every game they played this season. And they supplied me with so much happiness and so much fun. Lindsay and I went to about 7 games out at the stadium, and it was just a blast. And there was a point in the playoffs where I really didn't know if we were going to get it done. Because honestly, Houston scared me. That team was tough, and we almost lost to them. But then we played Toronto, and that team really scared me. They were really good, they had the big home run hitters, and I hated their players. Especially Jose Bautista, who has become one of my least favorite players of all time. Yeah, I know he's a great hitter and all that, but he sucks at fielding. And he sucks as a human being.
Whoa!
No, seriously, Bautista, do you have to be a jerk all the time? But whatever, we ended up knocking them out and got into the World Series against the Mets. And when we started playing them, I went, wow, these guys aren't nearly as good as the teams we just beat. And I really wasn't afraid of the New York Mets at all. I know they had great pitching during the season, but our bullpen was way better. I mean, the Royals have my favorite player, Wade Davis, in their bullpen, and that dude is the baddest man on the planet. If it's the 8th or 9th inning and the Royals are leading and you see Wade Davis come into the game, that game is over. Wade Davis freaking rules.
There's no doubt about it.
But the Mets did put up a good fight and they did win one game, so you gotta give them that. However, what was up with that pitcher they call Thor or something like that? He's got long blonde hair. I think his name's Cinderblock or something like that. And he starts out the game by throwing the first pitch right at Escobar's head. And then the Royals proceed to get 6 hits and 3 runs off of him, and the announcers went, boy, he really sent a message. Yeah, how? I thought it was a real dick move, and the only message that it sent was, I am a huge douchebag. And I've just got to say, that Cindergaard, or whatever his name is, he is a real jive turkey.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Yeah, there, I said it.
Need to clean up our language.
But as much as that pissed me off, nothing compared to how terrible the broadcast team on Fox was. Keep in mind that the Royals won that series 4-1. But through the entire series, you would have thought that the Mets were just destroying the Royals. Because every game I had to sit there for about 3 hours and listen to how awesome the Mets were. But almost every game the Royals would come back in the late innings and make Joe Buck look like an idiot.
He's full of crap.
But that's one reason why I love the Royals. The media gives them no chance usually, but they just get it done. Why? Because they are a team. They don't have the big names, but everyone contributes. We even got a huge hit in Game 5 from a guy named Colon.
Huh?
I mean, Cologne. And it was just such a joy to see them win it all.
But it's not that big of a deal.
But enough about baseball. The NFL season is going on. And I have been watching, but I gotta say, I'm just not into it that much this year. There are so many bad teams, and I just can't get that interested yet, maybe in the playoffs. But it just seems like it's gonna be about a four-team race. You got the Packers, Broncos, New England, maybe Cincinnati, but I figure they'll probably bomb out in the playoffs. And maybe Seattle, but after that, everybody else just seems average to bad.
They all suck.
And finally, the NBA is back, but, I say, who really cares? They're going to play for the next 8 months, and it's still going to be Cleveland against Golden State in the finals. And once again, I'm going to have LeBron James shoved down my throat ad nauseum.
An unbelievably arrogant and obnoxious guy.
But that's really it for now. I gotta get out of here and go to a World Series championship parade. But thanks for listening to me rant. I will be back soon. Rock on.
Say what you want about him. The man knows what he's talking about.
This has been Monty's Rockcast.
The end.